Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. And we decided for today's podcast, we would say I'm not quite sure it's going to be a fond farewell to 2020. It's going to be a farewell to 2020. There's elements of goodbye and elements of good riddance. I don't know. What do you think, Judy?
I think you're right. I think there are elements of both. I think, something good has come out of this, but I think most people are frustrated and angry and are not sad to see 2020 go. I think we had a lot of high hopes for this year. And, you know, just the, you know, 2020 itself, it's, you know, got that symmetry. It's got that, you know, hindsight. It's got the foresight. And what a disappointment it was.
Well, we will get into that. But before we do that, we're first going to have a brief commercial for our sponsor. And that sponsor is the book that I wrote that came out in 2020. And so here's our commercial.
From Peggy Sachs. Reading this book is like breathing fresh Vermont air, refreshing, inspiring, down to earth, and filled with grounded wisdom that emerges from decades of practice as a therapist with hundreds of couples. I am especially inspired by his willingness to bring spiritual lives, religious and non-religious, into the conversation, exploring with couples what matters most to each of them while dealing with life's inevitable uncertainties and struggles.
Well, thanks to Peggy Sachs for that review, and the book we're talking about is Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. And the book came out in February of 2020, just in time for a pandemic, and we think it's just the perfect read for these times. It's really the perfect read for anybody who wants to improve your relationship, and it's available anywhere books are sold, and you can get it in the form of paper. You can get it from your local bookstore can order it for you. You can get it as a Kindle book from Amazon, and you can also get it as a audiobook from Audible. And we hope you will get a hold of the book and let us know what you think. And now, on with our podcast. So here we are reflecting. We're recording this right near the end of 2020. What is today? The 29th. So we're just a few days before the end of 2020. And I think you were saying earlier, Judy, a lot of people are feeling like we're not terribly sad to see 2020 go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had hopes for it, I suppose, early on.
Let's say things turned out differently than I think what anybody could have possibly imagined.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we were reflecting on this. We've been talking about this all the way through. Some of the changes, of course, have been just horrendous. I mean, my God, a pandemic has just been horrible and scary for everybody to one degree or another. And some of the changes, like so many crises, some of the changes have actually been for good. I think there's going to be, a lot of people are reevaluating how they work. For people who are fortunate enough to be able to work remotely without it really, making the work impossible, 2020 has imposed on us, you know, solutions that turn out to be pretty good, perhaps even when there's not going to be a pandemic. I, in particular, decided I would give up my actual office. I mean, that's partly related to the fact that I am where I am in my career. I'm almost 70 and still loving the work, but I'm sure I'll be winding down over the next few years. And so I decided I would just continue to work remotely instead of going back to the office. And I think numbers of other folks are doing similar things.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Now, of course, in your work, it's been a rather different story.
It is rather different because I run an after-school Hebrew school. And it's very difficult to be entirely online. I'm hearing from my teaching colleagues that are in regular public schools, the kids are not learning. They're just not learning enough, the ones that are totally remote. Even the ones that are coming in person, there's so much anxiety that it's very difficult for the kids. So it's almost as if a whole year's worth of learning is lost. And I think schools are going to have to come up with some ways to compensate for that, because you can't just make up that time in a week or two. So, there's also going to be a learning curve when we get back into school, we've been entirely remote, and it's, you know, we've reduced our hours, and, you know, teachers really have to become entertainers and find, you know, creative ways to engage kids. And like you said, some of the positives have come out of that, because I think some teachers are really doing a fantastic job, and others not as much. You know, it's difficult to teach a language, and it's also difficult to teach little kids. So there have been ups and downs, but I look forward to getting back together in person for my work. It certainly is a lot better when you have that social interaction, and the kids are able to interact with each other, although I do like having a mute button.
I wonder what that's going to be like. You know, right? We'll all be looking for our mute buttons when we're actually right? in the same room with people.
That could be something that could be incorporated into the teaching style, though. I'm pushing my mute button. That'll be a new phrase.
That'll be, exactly. Yes, indeed. You know, we've had some highlights this year. We had our fifth grandchild was born this year. And I remember, because he was born, what? Terrible grandfather. What month was he born in?
He was born in April 20th.
Thank you, darling. Yes, you would remember that. But what I certainly remember in conjunction with that was it was kind of scary to think of our daughter-in-law going into the hospital, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. Fortunately, mm-hmm. thank God, everything was fine, and she turned out fine. And but that's, you know, that was kind of a hallmark of this year. You know, it was a wonderful, joyous event, and yet it was scary. And then, of course, there was the sadness that ordinarily we would have been down there for his bris. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was a Zoom bris, which was a bizarre thing. And then, of course, you know, we had a sadness, of course, you know, your mom passed away
right
around that same time in the beginning of April.
Right.
And we ended up having a Zoom funeral, which was...
Yeah, yeah, it was, you know, totally, there are really no words for it. You know, not being able to go to your mother's funeral and not being able to have, you know, a Shiva, the customary week-long mourning period where friends and family come to your home to comfort you and share stories and food. You know, it was just the two of us sitting in here looking at each other.
Yeah, and Zoom,
and
right?
Zoom,
so you had a Zoom shiva.
You had a few, you know, different groups of friends coming in, but, you know, which helped. But, you know, for the most part, you're sitting in your house alone, mm-hmm. you know? It's not like a typical shiva.
Yeah.
You know, I can only speak to, you know, Jewish religious practices. So for those who might not be familiar with it, the week after a person dies, shiva means seven. And so for 7 days, you stay in your house, you don't go out. People come to you and they come to comfort you and to talk about the person. And usually it, you know, turns into a really warm, comforting, nice time, because you're surrounded by family and friends and people who love you, who love the deceased, and, you know, to share stories. I remember how nice it was. I don't want to say nice. Well, you know, following my father's death, when we all gathered at my sister's house and people were coming and sharing their stories of him. So there's a lot of comfort in that. And I really miss that with my mom. And mm-hmm. I know people missed being able to come and talk about her, because she was a character.
That she was indeed. Yes. And, you know, it isn't just that they come and talk, but they come and care. You know,
right,
they take
right.
care of you. They bring food.
Right.
And the food isn't just because it's food. It's a way of caring for you, and it also it brings the community together to mm-hmm. do things like that. And so this year, yes, was disruptive of all of that, and yet for all of that, you know, people did what they could. Mm-hmm. Everybody did what they could,
right.
And so, you know,
this was early in the pandemic too. I think people have mm-hmm. learned since then, and I've been to some really touching Zoom funerals, but, you know, back then it was like at the graveside, 40 minutes, because nobody had the extended one back then. And, you know, as soon as we couldn't hear, it was windy
mm-hmm.
and only 10 people were allowed there, and they had to be masked and socially distant. And all I heard was the whooshing of the wind. And most of the people who came on to the funeral didn't mute, and we didn't know about the mute back then.
Yep.
So
kind of impossible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So what are we looking forward to in 2021? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing my family again, you know, to see all our kids and grandkids and siblings and just being in the same room with people and being able to put our arms around them and say, God, I'm so glad to see you.
Yes, so. Indeed. And, you know, I of course, that's true of all of our family, especially true of the little kids, you know, and that baby. I just want to hold that baby.
I know.
And, of course, he's not nearly as much of a baby anymore.
You know,
he's
going to
be a year old
that
in April.
Time, and I've got two new great nephews mm-hmm. that were born this year, one in May and one in September, whom we haven't seen yet. And we haven't seen our other great nephew, Adam, since, well, I don't even remember the last time we saw him, but it was probably last Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So not this year, the one before.
So you know, cool. The vaccine is coming. I noticed our daughter, the same one who had the baby, she also happens to be a geriatrician. So as a healthcare provider, she has already received the vaccine. And that's just a hopeful sign going forward. You know, we're looking forward at some point we'll get ours and more people will get it and we'll be able to get back to some kind of semblance of normal sometime in 2021, I certainly hope.
Well, you know, speaking of good things that came out of the year, I think people had to get a lot more creative, artists, you know, in promoting themselves. And I think this podcast is a wonderful example of something good that came out of this year. Mm. Because I'm not sure we would have thought to do that if we were able to go out on the road and promote your book the way we wanted to.
I agree with that. And, you know, we are having a blast doing this podcast. I hope listeners are enjoying it. And indeed, that is something, and we're going to keep doing this because we have fun doing it. And, you know, this is not founded
on the
pandemic.
And our listenership is growing, so that's always good.
Absolutely.
So thank you for telling your friends about us.
That's right. And while we're on that subject, I thought it might be a nice thing to do for today, just as we're kind of looking back and looking forward, to revisit the formula that this is based on, Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I was realizing, you know, this is our 23rd episode, and we haven't really gone over the 7 words just to kind of revisit that, explain to people what that's about, since episode number one. Of course, you're always welcome to go back and listen to episode number one. But I thought we could just do a little of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judy, why don't you say the 7 words, and then I'll speak a little bit about it.
Okay. The 7 words are be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
And you know, I think the way that I can get into that today is to apply it to getting through 2020 and looking forward to 2021, you know? The origin of the formula, and I talk more about this in the first podcast, but the origin of the formula was that a colleague asked me, gee, how do you do couples therapy? And I came up with this, obviously, oversimple formula. You know, basically, I figured what I was telling people was those 7 words, be kind, don't panic, and have faith. And they are linked together. Those three principles are linked together. Be kind, I don't just mean be nice. Although, of course, be nice. That's a good thing to do. But I mean, be kin to each other. Recognize your kinship with each other. And in order to do that, that's what leads to the second part. In order to do that, you have to not be in a panic. Because when you're panicking, our brains go to fight or flight or freeze, mm-hmm. none of which are terribly consistent with experiencing kinship with someone.
Right. Certainly not helpful.
Indeed. So, you know, the whole idea of don't panic, it doesn't mean don't feel any anxiety. I mean, we're normal human beings. If your brain works, you're supposed to be able to feel anxiety. It's a survival skill. But in order to be kind, you have to not panic when you're feeling the anxiety. So that leads to that concept of tolerating the anxiety as one of the chief relationship skills. And then the question arises, well, okay, how do you not panic? You know, I mean, the panic is there for a reason too, right?
Right, right.
And the answer to panic, the antidote to panic, is faith. And faith, as I describe it, I don't mean specific religious faith, although lots of specific religious, you know, religions offer a kind of faith that fits in very well with the concept. But what I mean by faith is just that fundamental idea that says that reality is right to be what it is. And so, you know, if you're coming from a traditional Western religion, that would be pretty similar to saying, God, whatever we mean by God, God is good. There's a rightness about the whole project of this universe. And so when you have that sense, it means you can accept that there's all kinds of things that are way beyond our understanding, but nevertheless, we're going to have to work with, even if we don't like them. And look, I'm not one of those people that says, oh, you know, it's all part of God's plan and everything happens for a reason. That may be true, but that doesn't help much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When something really bad is happening, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, God had the pandemic all planned out. You know, that just doesn't work for me, and it doesn't work for a lot of people. But what I certainly want to say is that the conditions that give rise to pandemics are the same conditions that give rise to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going to have to work with it.
Yeah. And it looks like, you know, people are discovering new things all the time.
You
see with the vaccine, how it came about so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Which is just, it is an amazing phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we can experience faith even in the midst of really painful and scary things is what lets us not panic, which in turn is what lets us be kind, which is what works in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I do invite listeners, if you want a fuller explanation of that, go back and check out many of our other, you know, our other 22 episodes. We cover lots of aspects of that. So as we mentioned earlier, this podcast is sponsored by the book that I wrote. And so here's another word about the book.
This review comes from Kathleen on an Amazon page. The chapters on faith and forgiveness should be a must-read for every married couple or those contemplating marriage. I enjoyed reading and learned more from this book than I expected to. The format and structure of the book makes it easy to pick up and put down. Some chapters evoke reflection and discussion, introducing aspects of a relationship that are rarely examined. This book will make a great book club pick. Many discussion points and relatable at any age and years married. Definitely a recommended read.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, for that wonderful review. And I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think it would make a great book club pick. And
I like what, you know, a must read for every married couple, because it's not just for people who are in trouble, because couples can get into trouble, you know, as we see, as you've seen, you know, we have any number of friends whose marriages have broken up. Both of us have had marriages that have broken up. And I think if I had had some of this advice early on, things could have been very different.
And there's a paradox for us, isn't it? Because I'm sitting here thinking, well, yeah, but then where would that have left me? I wouldn't have had you. So, you know, life is sometimes paradoxical.
I didn't say we'd stay together. It might have ended sooner.
good point. That is very true. So indeed, we hope you'll get a hold of the book and let us know your comments, because maybe we'll feature your comments on a future one of these commercials as well. And now, back to the podcast. So our podcast, the title of our podcast, of course, is Couples Therapy in 7 Words, and we would like to ask that you do the sort of things that people do to let other folks know about the podcast. As Judy mentioned earlier, our listenership has been growing, and we'd like to keep that trend going. And Judy, why don't you mention some of the upcoming topics that we have?
Sure. Well, I also want to mention, for those of you who are regular listeners, we solicit questions from our listeners. We are not going to have one today because this is a special show. But if you do have a question that you would like us to read on the air, you can email us at bruce@brucechalmer.com or visit brucechalmer.com. And as Bruce was saying, we do have a couple of upcoming topics for you. We'll be examining marriage versus living together, intimacy in an era of hookups, and we are booking some guests coming up, so we've got a lot of stuff going on in the new year. And if you have topics that you would like to suggest for us, we would love to hear them. So if you suggest it, we'll air it.
And so, until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.